Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The European Union. There is turmoil in the European Union, and that's a healthy thing. There are loud voices. In France, for example, Marie Le Pen is looking to challenge the establishment in Paris using the issue of migration, also the issue of farming. The agricultural lobby in France is very powerful, especially in the South. In the Low Countries, Wilders, for example, newly elected or newly promoted in a vote in his country, is talking about migration and borders. That is a common conversation in America as well. However, in the European Union, the issue can be transformed into the question of sovereignty. So I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I recommend you sign up and you will get the essays by very good thinking about the European Union and America at the same time, because we're in a very close relationship. Sovereignty. Judy, a very good day to you. Sovereignty can be treated as build the wall. That's the way we do it in America. It can also be treated into the question of, do we ship them to Rwanda? That's something that's come up in the parliament in Britain, though that's not EU, it's certainly Europe. But you write of sovereignty as a question for the EU to address directly. How so, Judy, pending the elections this year?
The issue of sovereignty is just so underestimated, but so crucial. And the sovereignty issue is particularly strong in Poland, even with the new government. It's strong in the Baltic states for different reasons. It's strong for two reasons. One is among the countries that were under the Soviet Union, they want to protect their national identity and sovereignty, even though they joined the EU. And the war, Russia's war in Ukraine, has made them much more alert and aware of the need to protect national sovereignty, which the Ukrainians are doing. And what they don't want is for the EU to erode more of their sovereignty, which isn't fully explored by any of these countries, but it's a gut reaction of one of national identity, not to be subjugated by Brussels. We had enough subjugation under Moscow. And it's a sort of trend or an ideological mindset that is certainly taking place in Central and Eastern Europe. And this has to be very carefully looked after, nurtured, but on the other hand, taken care of by the Brussels institutions, which actually, except for the European Parliament, are largely unaccountable and undemocratic.
Let's use the example of the Netherlands. The new rising star, Geert Wilders, in the Netherlands, he speaks of anti-European Union Freedom Party. That same strain, anti-European, anti-EU, can be found in Hungary as well. Anti, and what are they exactly saying? That they're against the EU? That they're against pooling their resources, as the 27 countries do? What is their complaint, and how is the EU answering it?
The complaint is one of literally complaint, that the EU institutions is stretching its powers too widely. Their complaint is that the EU is interfering in migration policy, in food policy, in environmental policy, in green policy. Essentially, what they don't like is that the EU is modernizing itself to adapt to the huge challenges of globalization. The issue is that none of these countries, whether it's the Netherlands or other Eurosceptic countries, they're never going to leave the EU. They saw what happened to Britain and the disaster of what happened to Britain when it left the EU. They won't leave it for the political benefits, for the financial benefits, the economic benefits. But if they don't want to leave the EU, they're not actually presenting a very clear agenda, apart from rhetoric, which actually doesn't do them any kind of justice. It may appeal to some of the voters, clearly a lot of the voters, but it doesn't have the substance of the content to explain what do they want from the European Union.
It strikes me that it's a vote-getting technique to rail against Brussels, but it doesn't build a coalition. It doesn't come to conclusions and simple things straightforwardly. Right now, the EU is dealing with the question of artificial intelligence, which is rarefied, but we know that it's coming in the same way the internet arrived, and we came up with reasons to control and regulate the internet. So what is it that these complainers want to do? Do they just want to stand at the sidelines and say, no, 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 not in my backyard? Or do they have an agenda that does Kurt Wilders speak with Marie Le Pen? That would be a simple way of talking about building a coalition.
There are already coalitions with the Hungarians, with the Dutch, with some of the Italian political parties, with the French. It's first and foremost anti-immigration. And this is very, very important. And secondly, it's about protecting, whatever this means, a European identity, whether it's based on Christian values. But what they don't want is interference by Brussels on all sorts of values that extend to same-sex marriages or LGBT and other issues. And but essentially it's based on the fear of the foreigner, the fear of immigrants. And frankly, the EU should have tackled this a very, very long time ago. They were discussing this since the year 2000 on how to have a common, coherent asylum and refugee and immigration policy, maybe akin to Canada. And they never got round to it. And now, in fact, they're paying a very high price. One last thing. It's all very well for Marine Le Pen, the leading opposition candidate in France, who wants to become the next president. It's all very well being anti-immigration, anti-immigrant. So what do you do with the huge, huge North African immigration population in France? These issues are not addressed.
Yes, born in France. They're Frenchmen. Although
precisely.
Several generations of Frenchmen. Now you write, importantly, the EU has ambitions as a global player, but it is not a global player. Is that understood these days, that its presentation is that of what you say is a regional power? Is that Brussels' thinking, or is that your contribution to Brussels?
It's not Brussels' thinking, because they believe that trade and competition policy and this huge market in the EU automatically gives it global reach. It's all very well having global reach when it comes to economics, but if you don't have the political, foreign, security and defence underpinnings to actually legitimate this, it becomes just a kind of trading organisation. This is the first thing. And secondly, the EU does global foreign policy very, very badly. It cannot even have agreements over how to deal with the United States. We had a huge problem on doing the trade agreement with Canada. But on foreign policy, Europe doesn't speak with a coherent voice. They say nice things. It's almost rhetorical. But what we have is the rhetoric on the one hand, and on the other hand, the kind of bilateral relations that the 27 member states have with individual countries. In other words, global EU foreign policy does not function.
Is that a positive from the point of view of Berlin and Paris, that their foreign policy is primary when people turn to the question of Ukraine or Gaza? does that please the apparatus in those governments that they're not canceled out by a super foreign ministry in Brussels?
You've answered the question, because if there was a super legitimate foreign minister in Brussels with real powers, it would actually weaken the kind of bilateral relations which the other member states pursue, whether it's with relations with China or South Korea or with Latin America or whatever. But this foreign policy supremo is not going to happen. It exists only in name. But Mr. Borrell, who is head of the so-called European Union External Services, they wouldn't dare use the word foreign ministry because of the connotations of a foreign ministry of the EU. He really doesn't have the clout. At the end of the day, the member states hold all the cards, and this is it actually weakens the whole idea of the EU having the ambitions to be a global player.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey. She is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Judy's in Berlin. And we're looking at the story of the European Union with these voices, very loud voices now, around the edges, pointing fingers at Brussels and popular acclaim in their own countries because they're anti-EU or skeptical about EU. And they advance their policies saying we must contain migration. The big story in the U.S., in the Mediterranean basin, in the English Channel, it's a global story, but it's always translated into we've got to secure our borders. There is one other border that's not secure, and we're going to turn to it next. That's Ukraine. And the Chancellor of Germany, Mr. Schulz, has some sharp words to say about his colleagues in the EU and how they're conducting their relationship with security in Europe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.